call the meeting of Senate Community and Regional Affairs together, and Senator Kelly, Senator Rohde, Senator Stimson, Senator Sturzaluski on hand, and I assume Senator McKay is tied up with the permanent fund. Let's take up, first of all, Senate Bill 16, and I think, is that the first one you have in your book?
No, ma'am. 131.
It should be, you have little tabs there, I think, for each one of the bills.
What bill?
Senate Bill 16. I believe you have, should have in your packet, a copy of the bill. The fiscal note, as was given to us last year, has been updated. If you, so that it carries a note of, if you look on the second page there on the fiscal note, of $2,097,480. This bill was before us last year, and if you'll recall, there was a lot of debate about a change in the revenue sharing formula, and it seemed to be a year when there were limited amounts of funding, and there was no change in the method of revenue sharing. There was a concern that if we increased the amount that went for ice roads and other roads, that we would in fact lower the amount that would go toward the whole categorical grant approach. In other words, it all comes out of one pie, and I think that same concern is going to be expressed to us perhaps by the municipal league. There was an interim activity by then Commissioner Holden to look at the whole issue of shared revenue on roads, where they would develop a formula approach so that if you had an urban mile, it would be at one rate. If you had a turnout, at another rate, and you'd more or less build an actual cost kind of a formula. That was not accepted by the administration, so we're right back to, in a sense, where we were before. We do have in the information supplied to you a fiscal note from the Department of Transportation where they indicate that the average statewide cost is somewhere in the neighborhood of $7,500 per mile. So there's a wide difference between what this particular Senate bill suggests and what actual costs are. I think that we might open the public hearing and see if anyone would like to speak on it, and then see what the pleasure of the committee is. Marilyn, were you here to speak for Municipal League? And certainly any questions you might have of her would be appropriate.
I'm Marilyn Miller with the Alaska Municipal League, and Chairman Sturzaluski has already pointed out the Municipal League does support the bill. However, only if the shared revenue is funded as it should be, because as she explained, if you raise this one and you don't raise the others and fully fund it accordingly, it will just bite into the others.
Right. Am I correct, Marilyn, that the present amount that goes toward hospital beds and the categorical grant, which is X for police and fire and libraries, plus the per mile, is all in one pot? So if one receives a larger percentage, it cuts down on the amount to fund the others.
The hospital was, Palmer shaking his head. So yes, that's right.
Right. So it's, as I understand it, House Bill 192, which is Representative Gardner's bill, will no doubt be coming over. That's one consideration. The second consideration is the action taken by Municipal League. And what could you give us their position on the revenue sharing?
Well, we support the concept of Representative Gardner's bill on the new formula. Mm-hmm. However, we do not support any particular bill at the moment. We do support the concept.
But you did take action on the funding of revenue sharing this year the convention. Would you mind?
I don't have the policy statement in front of me, but it's to fund it 100% as it's stated.
I thought it was three times.
Okay, you're right.
Three times the amount, but in other words, it would be 300%. In other words, full funding times three.
Times three, you're right.
Okay. Are there questions of Marilyn? Senator Stimson?
Well, I don't understand what 100% times three means.
Right now, revenue sharing in the past number of years has not been fully funded. It's been at, I don't know, last year was 83%, was it? 88% of what it, of 100%. All right, what they're saying is it should be the full funding, but times three, in other words, to really increase the amount. We've never received for a good number of years, if ever, 100% of, if you took all of the categorical, plus the hospital, plus the maintenance mile, it's never been fully funded, only partially funded. And they took action at the Municipal League Convention to say three times full funding.
And the theory behind that is to bring them up to where they should be?
If it were just brought up to 100% from 88%, that would be good. But there's a feeling that there should be far more go into revenue sharing. I think that's
because
basically was enough.
Costs, but in municipalities, that's
no, right. The Gardner bill is quite a different approach, and doing kind of a major amount of work through House research on that, and I'm sure that bill will come to us and will be brought before us. Incidentally, it does have a component that calls for $2,500 per road mile in that bill, but that bill isn't before us yet, and I'm trying to handle the bills we have in committee.
Madam Chair, just a remark, I hope that the Gardner bill, when it comes before us, is considerably different than the Gardner bill in the House the last legislature, because it was, in my opinion, a very poor bill for the urban areas in the state.
On that, as I say, there's at least conceptually, the mayor now supports the bill, but it's based on the fact of more dollars being made available. But there are also a number of things I think we need to analyze. One of my concerns in the bill, and we'll have a lot more information, is that it does not seem to give incentive for municipalities to do a good job. And I will certainly bring that along with, you know, we'll be able to look at it from your point of view. It's now been computerized, so we'll be able to run through this stuff and get some percentages on. Senator Rodiai.
I have a question and a bit of a comment to Marilyn. It puts us on, of course, the horns of our traditional dilemma of not being able to make a commitment on a specific revenue sharing item until the budget is done. And while we can pass the change in the statute as we do here, we really don't want it to go into effect unless there is additional monies, and that legally that's a bit cumbersome to do, and though not impossible. And I guess that that's the position we're in now, and nobody knows what the governor's position will be on a stated increase. In the past, the governor has been kind of lukewarm with regard to some of the suggestions we've had that we, the legislature, in terms of revenue sharing. And, do you see any path that you would recommend that the legislature follow in this regard?
Well, of course, I feel silly sitting here saying we support the bill if, because it is a good bill and if everything was funded like it should be, we'd be all for it.
No, I understand. And, we went through this
last year.
We went through it 4 or 5 years ago when I was chairman of this committee and came to the caucus and explained that we had a great revenue sharing proposal. That was the good news. The bad news was there wasn't going to be any more money. And at least the majority then, and I think the majority now, would make the same decision. That is, don't try and fool folks by giving them a new formula, but no more money.
That's true, but I think the state is in a position now, they so choose, to fully fund a lot of these things that haven't been fully funded in the past. And let me just ask for your cooperation further down the line, that when you have the chance and when you can give the input and when you can sort of voice your opinion, that it should be fully funded, that these assist us in our lobbying efforts and seeing what it is. Our executive director is working with the governor's office so that we have a veto on anything the legislature would pass. We were very optimistic and we feel that this is going to be a good year. hear that people, that we do have the money and that the legislators are going to see the needs of the municipalities and answer these needs.
It's, if I could continue through the chair, it's been suggested that we also require that additional monies that are given either reduce the mill rate or prevent the mill rate from rising any higher. Does the municipality or the municipal league have a position on that issue? I know what the position has been in the past.
Well, of course, the municipalities would like to have all the money that they can without any strings attached and be able to use as they see fit. But I think they realize what the legislative intent is and will follow, so follow that intent as possible. Must realize that all the state is rich, so municipalities aren't.
I appreciate Senator, having a candid witness before
right,
us.
Right, she is
great.
Candid.
Uh-huh. Thank you.
Any other questions? Fine, thank you, Marilyn. Palmer, do you have anything from Community and Regional Affairs?
Very briefly, Madam Chair. The department, of course, supports the notion of increased funding of all the categories, but I don't know that we take or share the same view that perhaps Senator Curtulo does, that roads are receiving less funding than other categories. For example, the police category has been funded at an amount of $12 per capita for the past several years, and I suspect certainly when you talk about vital services of the municipal government, police and fire and those types of things, which have not increased either, might be considered. There's no question that the $2,500 is realistic. It certainly doesn't begin to provide the cost that most municipalities experience in providing maintenance for roads. But then, as I mentioned, no category in revenue sharing ever provides the full cost, and I don't think there was ever really any intent that the revenue sharing categories provide the full cost. We would, pretty much in line with what's been discussed, like to suggest that this bill be held because the House Bill 192 does virtually incorporate the language that's in this bill. It does segregate the funding for highways, packages it in with hospitals and health facilities, which we may want to suggest a new version there because of the way the hospitals are eating up the program, to where you may want to actually set up separate funds for highways, separate fund for the roads, and then the basic revenue sharing program. But to pass this bill, Senate Bill 16, in the absence of looking at any of those other bills, particularly House Bill 192, would do nothing more than redistribute an existing pot of money. Those boroughs and cities that have a lot of road maintenance would obviously come out ahead, Mat-Su being a prime example. Other cities and boroughs that don't have, or that have a lesser road maintenance impact would lose money under the fixed formula. So our position would be we'd like to see this held to be dealt with in conjunction with the other major bill that does address the increased funding for roads and ice roads.
Senator Dempsey?
I just wanted to pursue the cost per mile. You said $7,500.
I believe Senator Sturgiluski indicated that the Department of Highways or Public Transportation and Government.
With the $7,500, that was on the average cost of maintenance throughout the state. I doubt that includes anything on ice roads. It would be, you know, other roads.
I see. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Further questions? We're back a bit in the same dilemma we had last year. Part of the thing is we give notice to finance that this additional amount of money, which is a couple million dollars, is coming. And yet it obviously we have to address the full issue of revenue sharing at some point. And so I don't know when that other bill is going to come through, and obviously we're going to have to address that. It's going to take some time because it's a major bill. Does anyone have any comment on that?
Madam Chair, I would just think that it's probably wise, since they do go together and since we will get a comprehensive look at the entire revenue sharing package, just to hold on to the bill until the other bill gets over here to us. I suppose if we ever discover that the other bill isn't going to get here, we can move on this bill and kick it through. I don't have any particular problems with this bill, but I'd like to see the whole thing in perspective.
Any particular comments that either of you would have?
No, I have no desire for any particular action right away on this bill. Perhaps it's wise for the chair to talk with the prime sponsor, mm-hmm. Senator Gertula, and see how important he believes it is for this bill to move on.
All right. Why don't we hold this temporarily then? But does anybody have a problem with the concept of the bill? It's a question of timing that we're indicating.
No,
I'm into ice roads. You know that.
Okay. You really like ice roads. You were on one in the boat this summer. Let's take up Senate Bill 436 next, and we have committee substitute for SB 436. If you'll take a look, you have, could you see if you have this in your file here? A little memo from staff. Twyla, did you make that available to everybody, or is this just
in my file? Right on the cover of each of their books to the left, inside.
Could you show? Oh, right here. Okay, right in the cover of the inside of your book. You'll see committee substitute for Senate Bill 436. And this reflected the action of our last meeting with the new wording as presented by the Department of Environmental Conservation. We'd asked them to come up with wording that would raise from 50 to 75% those portions where the federal government was not involved. And there would be a maximum, as you'll note by the legislation, of 87.5% of the eligible cost of the project. That is going to add, with that wording, an additional $6 million to the bond bill when we get to talk about that. And we've added on page 3 of the bill new wording that relates to the solid waste definition that had come from the drafter of the bill, and that has been worked over with the Department of Environmental Conservation, and apparently the bill drafter, and they're satisfied with that. Basically, of course, this bill adds solid waste facilities to those items covered, and I think we've had pretty adequate description on that.
Madam Chair, I'm somewhat perplexed.
All right.
I've never heard this 87.5% sentence.
Okay.
What is that?
That information is included. If you'll take a look on the material that you have, position paper on Senate Bill 436 from Commissioner Mueller, and it's on page 4, unnumbered, he has.
I don't have that.
I think you
have it sometimes.
Okay. Yeah. Take a look on page 4. That's the wording that handles that whole section handles on those projects that are like collector systems where there are no federal dollars involved. It allows up to 75% of those, but not to exceed the 87.5%. And that was his concern, that if it got up to too high a percentage, you would not have perhaps as close watch done by the municipalities in developing the project. That was a part of his presentation.
Yeah.
And then there was just the correction on page 1, line 28, it was a numbering question. Now this is going to add, when we talk on the bond issue, of approximately, well, it's adding, it's not approximate, $10 million for the solid waste portion and $6 million for making available the 75% of those projects that are not financed by the federal government and their estimates by the department. I don't think we had anyone here to talk on those. Palmer or Marilyn, had you?
Support.
You support them. Okay. And did you have anything to add?
Not on this bill.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What's the pleasure of the committee?
Well, Madam Chair, I'd
move that we move the bill out of committee with individual recommendations.
Madam Chair, I'm a do pass.
I'll be a do pass.
I'm a do pass.
Yeah,
unanimous do pass.
Do pass. Well, do we have a form, and we'll sign that with a unanimous do pass, and the next one we'll catch will be Senate Bill 131, committee substitute.
We already added the six, or do we have to add the six?
No, I believe we have that in. And, okay, this bill was $25,520,000. We added $10 million to that for covering of the solid waste facilities. And I thought that was six, but is it six or eight? Just a second here.
Six.
It's $6 million for the change in the percentage of state participation in non-federal projects. Did you find that when you chaired Community and Regional Affairs that you never got issues that were very exciting, that you sort of wallowed around in water and sewer and other kinds of things?
Well, I love it.
Non-elegant. Or did you...
I would hesitate to characterize the activity of the committee as wallowing around in sewage,
but it's not the glamour committee.
It sort of did that. All right, let's...
Unfortunately, that would be correct.
take up committee substitute for Senate Bill number 131, which is the bonding package for the action that we, both the existing program and also the additions that we have just created. And again, this is one of those issues where you do not have specific projects, and the department has given us their best shot on what the appropriate amounts will be to accommodate people that come in with projects. So it would be $25 million for the ongoing sewer and water program, $10 million for addition of the solid waste and the resource recovery projects, and an additional $6 million for those shares additional funding of state of non-federal projects.
I'm sorry, could you run through that one more
time? Okay, the bill was for $25,520,000, which was just for the ongoing state participation of for sewer and water programs, mostly at 50%. Then we added the solid waste facilities and resource recovery in the bill we just acted on. That adds, according to the department estimate, $10 million. We also just passed on the increased portion of federal projects.
Non-federal, that would be, without the total $6 million.
Right, so $6 million, so that's the $41 million, which is a pretty huge package.
It's not that you weren't clear the first time, Madam Chairman, it's just that we're looking through the list of projects.
Took our breath away.
Do we have anybody here that would like to speak on that issue? Yes.
Madam Chairman.
Could you be good enough to give us your name for the record? And
my name is Keith Kelton. I'm the section chief in charge of the facility construction operation program for the Department of Environmental Conservation. There was one drafting change suggested by Mr. Barrier that we would like to comment on in the title. It originally stated that this was a bill for capital improvements. They've substituted the word capital improvements and put construction in there and established a construction fund. We were a little concerned and would like to get the committee's intent established on this point, that the word construction would not be construed to mean exactly that we're only going to pay for a physical construction activity. In the past, our program has funded such projects such as water delivery trucks and honey bucket trucks in the rural communities to pick up sewage and transport it to a more appropriate point of disposal. Mr. Barrier says that the word construction substituting for capital improvements will not take this right away from us, or this opportunity away from us, but we would like to establish an intent with the committee that that type of project would not be deleted from what we've been doing. That's primarily a service for the more rural communities where they don't have a pipe distribution system.
Madam Chair, I suspect, you know, that we can buy the reasoning, but isn't the purpose of this bill to make sure that they do have a pipe distribution system at some point?
Well, in some of the more rural communities, a pipe distribution system is technically almost impossible, and if it was put in, it would be too expensive for them to operate and maintain. So a lot of the communities, particularly the North Slope rural communities, have come into it for grants for water delivery trucks and honey bucket trucks. And that's their option. They chose to do that as opposed to some other type of system because it was easier to maintain.
What about the revenue sharing on that? Do they get that?
We qualify for revenue sharing under that type of system.
That would be for the operational dollars.
That's not fair. We've certified it. Well, maybe you haven't obtained it.
Well, we're missing whatever you're saying off the record, so we couldn't get the interchange there. What? All right. He's given you assurance that it would, in fact, be broad enough to cover that. Is that correct?
That's correct. He's saying that the statute on capital improvements is unaffected by this, and the word construction is just a semantic change that they're using for ease and the saveability of lines.
All right. What one suggestion I might make is that I request an opinion from him that we can make available to the Finance Committee. I wonder, would that, you think that would be adequate?
Sure, it'd be helpful.
I think it would satisfy us. Mm-hmm. Our commissioner has requested the AG's office for a similar opinion, which he would mm-hmm. forward to the Finance Committee also.
Okay. I could, if that would be adequate on the part of the committee, to request the opinion from legal and make it available to finance.
This is one area that we are capable of helping rural communities more so than others, and we'd like to be able to continue mm-hmm. it.
Are there other questions of Keith?
This is basically a rural program then?
No, only that particular aspect of it would be. We do fund projects throughout the whole state, and predominantly Anchorage, I might add, gets well over 50% of the funds. So.
Under this program?
Right.
Okay. I mean, looking at the sheet we have here, it appears that that's not the case. The projects that we have listed
here. 16 pages. You may just have the ability to say water projects.
Okay, the these it lists only about 1.2 million for Anchorage, I guess. In fact, one Juneau project is bigger than all of Anchorage. The Lemon Creek, is that in the Village Safe Water Act?
The 16 pages of project segregated by bond fund. You pay me just for looking at one.
I think
bond
I just
fund.
Evidently I've got the okay.
There's over 80 active projects in Anchorage right now that we're participating in.
Okay.
Other questions?
My apologies. Thank you.
Thank you, Keith. Is there anyone else that wants to speak on this bill? I think, Marilyn, do you have any comments? What's the, yes?
Carlos, is this 436?
On committee substitute for Senate Bill 131, we took action on 436 and passed it out of committee.
I'd just like to say on behalf of Kodiak,
fine.
You got it.
Yes.
From the people are the requested.
Would you mind coming up? We can certainly.
Fine.
Would you give us your name for the record? We haven't seen you since the last time we were over there.
Yeah.
No, right.
Okay. Dan Ogg, Deputy Mayor of Cody, Highland Borough.
All right. Just for your information, Mr. Ogg, we did pass out 436. What we're talking now is a committee substitute for Senate Bill 131, which provides for a bond issue that would allow for, you know, obviously to go to bond to fund both solid waste facilities and increased participation for sewer and water programs.
Okay. Well, we had a petition here which I imagine a copy was sent to me. I don't know, but the residents of Service District 1.
It had not been made available to us.
Has not been made available.
Or, right.
Okay, well, they have a copy here, and they ask for requesting 90% funding of non-federal sewer and water, which fits in line with this bill 436.
Would they settle for 87.5?
Let's settle for 87.5, I'm sure.
Right. In other words, the bill we are talking about does speak to just exactly the issue you have.
Correct.
But it raises it to a maximum of 87.5%, and it does increase the state share on those projects where the federal government does not participate.
This is what the people asked for, and the borough came with a resolution.
Okay.
I don't know if it was sent to you, but it was sent to our legislators asking for the 90% also. We didn't feel that the 100% was the way to go. 87.5 is fine.
Good, thank you.
It's a good way to go.
Any questions of Mr. Ross? Very fine, thank you. We're pleased you're getting your problems somewhat ironed out.
With your help, I think it worked out
okay,
fine.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Anyone else with comments? What's the pleasure of the committee on committee substitute for SB 131?
I would move it out of committee with any new recommendations.
All right, I'll be a do pass.
I'm a do pass.
I'm a no rep.
Tim's 50% for Anchorage and lowers tax rates.
Right.
It does. It will have a definite impact on millage.
Yes, but I think I'd rather spend the cash.
For your district.
which brings about a question. I wonder when these bonds will, when will they mature, when the last?
Mr. Lillo, on that one?
I'm very good.
And we got just the first summary of the testimony.
Senator Stimson's district is the only district that has an active gardening patch,
yeah,
to my knowledge.
Could we have another set, two
Street
of those?
Sure.
And did you put one over there in
Senator?
Fine.
Fine,
thank
right,
you.
Street. So you are expert in gardening.
Yes.
Members of the committee, my name is Jeff Haynes. I'm Deputy Commissioner of Natural Resources.
Let's just take a moment. We'll declare the public hearing open on Senate Bill 408. And go ahead, Mr. Haynes.
Thank you. We're here to tell you that even though this may sound innocuous, it is a fairly exciting concept. As you know, agriculture gets quite a bit of attention in this state, but for the most part, it's the large projects like the Delta Project or the proposed Point McKenzie Project. But in fact, there are numerous opportunities in this state for small-scale agriculture, particularly in rural areas. And for that reason, grants of this nature to develop so-called village gardening or small-scale agriculture projects are, in fact, we believe, an opportunity to develop small-scale agriculture in Alaska. We understand that there is a House companion bill, and that would put this grant in the Department of Natural Resources Division of Agriculture as opposed to Community and Regional Affairs, and I understand that the Community and Regional Affairs would have no objection to this. The reason why we favor it is that we already have, during fiscal year 1980, two grants which we are administering to the villages of Koyukuk, I believe, and the Kuskokwim Native Association for the same types of projects. And for that reason, the Division of Agriculture is already involved with this kind of project. And we would like to see it continue just in DNR because we've already been doing this. The second reason why we would like to see it in DNR is that small-scale agriculture, particularly greenhouse, village gardening type things, ties in with our geothermal energy development program. During fiscal year 80, we are conducting a statewide inventory of geothermal prospects, including hot springs and geothermal anomalies. And in most cases where a geothermal prospect is found, the waste heat from that, I shouldn't call it waste heat, that's a misnomer, but the heat from that source can be used to heat the greenhouse year-round and provide a very inexpensive source of heating, which is the primary cost associated with running a greenhouse like that. And they can't operate year-round. There are some private enterprise projects like this presently in southeastern Oregon where they've drilled a shallow geothermal anomaly and they are now running commercial agricultural projects out of greenhouses year-round. Of course, the advantage of this is that many economic activities in the state are seasonal. To the extent to which we can get around the seasonal limitations, the better it is and the more steady the supply is locally. So you probably will want to hear from Community and Regional Affairs, but as I say, I understand they don't object. There is a small amount, I think $1,800, in the fiscal note. I handed out something to you which indicates what our overview would be of the grants. The money is just a very superficial overview of what happens to the grants to make sure that you're getting your money's worth, but we also find in administering these grants that the villages generally ask for some technical assistance, and we'd like to be able to provide that. The only other thing I would add is that we are getting lots of requests for this type of a project from a number of areas, and the grants that we had this year, I understand the one in Koyukuk, which was $400,000, they found out that what they wanted to do only cost $200,000. Which just argues for some flexibility in terms of how much money goes to which location. And you may find that there are going to be a lot more of these. In fact, I'm sure you're going to get a lot more of these from all over the state because the majority of Alaska is a potential geothermal prospect, and that's something that I know is of great interest in the bush. So I guess, whereas we certainly have no objection to the designation of locations for where the money goes, there might be some provision for a flexibility in amounts, just because once we get together with them, they may find that what they want is either less or more. If we can move the money around a little bit, we can get them all done.
I'd like to make a comment, and then we'll get some questions. It seems like to me, I've heard about a number of projects that are going to come in, and this can just grow and grow. Have you, as a department, developed guidelines so that you can review the projects? Is there a possibility, for instance, that we could create a pool of dollars, possibly through a committee substitute, and then that they could go through the process of applying for those dollars? What kind of a feeling do you have now about viable projects that might be coming in?
Well, on the two that we've looked at, they both look like they're prospective. You know, it's hard to say without knowing where all of them are going to come from. We'd be glad to draw up some proposed guidelines and submit them to the committee if they'd like to see those. And maybe once you've seen those, you would feel confident in doing it that way. And I'd be glad to have the Division of Agriculture in consultation with the state geologist submit some, say, in the next three or four days, by the end of the week, I'd get something to you. If that would be suitable.
You're talking about guidelines that you would use in giving grants plus some estimate of what might be
expected,
an appropriate amount to take a look at to accommodate those projects that
sure.
are coming. Now, you seem to be tying this pretty closely into geothermal, but is that necessarily true? That may provide some unique opportunities in certain areas, but there may be other areas where it would be for other purposes.
Right.
Is that not right?
That's correct. I'm not limiting it to that, but as I say, there are seem to be a number of areas around the state where that is prospective. And those are naturally the places that you may want to look first because, as I say, at least in from what I know about those types of projects, just providing atmospheric conditions within the, you know, within the greenhouse is the most expensive part of the whole deal. If you have a cheap energy source, it's much more likely to become viable. So the short answer is no, we're not limiting it to that, but those are the areas that not only ourselves, but I know a number of rural villages are looking at.
Have extra promise. Mm-hmm. Question, Senator Rohde?
Could you provide a breakdown of the monies, Jeff? I'm curious how the monies are spent. And it's probably not all for seed. I'm sure there's other things that are involved in it.
Oh, you mean on these grants?
Yes.
That's a good question, because I don't know where the amount came from in this one.
I don't either. I'd be curious to know how much it does cost. It seems for several villages, that's a lot of seed.
We did receive from the Copper River Native Association one copy. It was not made available for all of how they would meet the what goes into their budget request, and it includes wages and salaries and
it looks like
per diem.
It appears it's almost all salaries and travel.
Direct costs, materials, and supplies, which are really almost a minimal part of the whole thing. How does the committee feel about that approach to get the one before us covers Chitna, Copper Center, Volcana, and Chistochina, all in the same general area? Would you like that approach to have the department go back and work with the division to develop some guidelines and also a possible estimate of dollars, and then we can take a look at that? We're going to get other projects either. I think there have been a couple introduced, haven't there, in the House on this. What's your feeling?
Through the chair, I support the concept of small-scale agriculture. On the other hand, I'd like to know how it should be done, and I guess that's the question in my mind. I see in this proposal that it goes mostly for salary, and I'm wondering if Senator Gratul is here, and I think he might be certainly a farmer outstanding in his field, as Senator Ray.
Fine. Just make a couple of comments we weren't sure that we could get you, Senator, so we went on ahead. Jeff Haynes, Deputy Commissioner of DNR, has been talking to us, and if you could make available a copy of what you handed to us, Jeff, that would be helpful. Basically, they're supportive of the concept, particularly ties into the work they're doing on geothermal testing, and the suggestion was made that they could come back to us with guidelines how they might look toward approving particular projects, and also possibly a pool of money that could accommodate various projects around the state. And apparently there have been several others that you're aware of either coming through the House or will be coming through the House.
Yes.
Is that basically.
Yeah, it's just something I just wanted to make you aware of, that these are not the only areas in which we know that there is interest in this. So, because we may get lots of applications for it, you may or may not want to limit it just to this area.
All right. So. Very fine. Thank you. And we'll make a decision here of how to proceed.
We'll
Senator Curtula, would you like to make some comments?
I'll just quickly divert. Just briefly back to the geothermal sources for greenhouses and the waste heat sources for greenhouses in the various villages. The use makes a lot of sense to me. That part of gardening and that part Native people haven't been involved in before. And there are tests going on at the University of Alaska, and I think they were really started, interestingly enough, by the natives themselves at Fort Greene, or the old fort in Kenai Peninsula. It's now a Native village. It's chemical gardening, but using lights and waste heat is a very distinct part of making that an economic possibility. Every village has waste heat almost, and some have geothermal. I got very interested in that part because I still think the Seward Peninsula with the Pilgrim Hot Springs project could provide Nome, Kotzebue, and that area with a tremendous amount of valuable produce. It's that big and that good. I've been there two or three times, and Frank and I initiated the legislation on that some time back. That brought me into looking on at the little native village gardens on the Kobuk, and following the last 3 years, I think. 2 years ago, they were coming along very well. Out to various areas so that they could have a better economic agricultural potential. It's mostly local. Two or three of these geothermals might make for some economic supply, particularly Nome Consfield. The natives had begun some years before this, a couple of years before, in Galena particularly, and one other location on the Yukon. They reinvented the wheel. There were village gardens, and there have always been, and I've seen them on the Anoko and Holy Cross pictures, and there's potatoes all around the whole town of Holy Cross, and one of the old pictures of the sisters have, etc. So it can be done, it was done in the past, and this is a reintroduction. I wanted the scientific thing first and the demonstration projects later. John was under tremendous pressure, and the people there that had already been working on this, the extension people and so on, farmer and these fellows, they wanted the village plots and the equipment and so on, they wanted it right now. So instead of putting the money into the scientific endeavor and transmitting that information out for better products and so on, they went in the village plot. Now, I'm a diffusionist so far as anthropology goes. And this is again a situation where once it started in one area, the tom-toms delivered the message to other areas, and it ended up in the far reaches of Sackett's district, which borders on mine. This bill is presented by, and I have the information here, and if you don't have it, good. I give this to you. What they're wanting is a demonstration project for four villages, Chitna Copper Center, and two in John Sackett's district, Chestachina and Gacona, I think, for substantial garden projects with some greenhouse demonstration. Again, it's a reinvention of the wheel to some extent, except for this one thing. The young people, if they're involved in it, some of them may choose to continue the rest of their life in it, may even go to school, may even get involved, because they now have the one ingredient that the previous villages never really had when the old demonstration units were there. They weren't demonstration units, they were there out of need. You need fresh supplies, you grew them, you didn't get them. They now own the land, and they want to do something with the land. And that's what attracted me to it. There are geothermals in the Copper River Valley, too. There is probably a tremendous gas source. There are heat waste facilities for the greenhouse development. Greenhousing hasn't been on much of a scale there. There's not even much demonstration. I thought that if the villages were going to pursue this and throughout the Kobuk and the Yukon, that John certainly was going to be interested in adding the two villages on the far side of his district, which are part of the same group that has sort of four different identities. And Chitna was one of them. Copper Center itself is another. And I got into it and said, I'll take your message. And that's really what I've done. Otherwise, it would be just John working on the budget and some type of negotiation. I guess I might say this, although you probably get tired of me saying it ad nauseum, that it is. This is the time for public debate on it, public input into it, rather than just a decision made without anybody really knowing much about it.
Well, I appreciate your comments, yes. And I agree with that. I'm wondering, the department has indicated that they can come back with some guidelines. One thing I noticed, there's a tremendous, well, a very large percentage of this going to salaries, and I think that's one of the decisions we have to really should be addressing, is what is the role of the state in this? Because I think it's an exciting concept, but on the other hand, does the state get that much into providing the funding? Or should people on themselves just have enough to get the project underway with some very basic supplies? And
excellent point.
You know, I think that's something that we might get from the department. Somebody has to make the decision. And
what you need is extension, Mr. Chairman. You need extension of existing information And apparently you need equipment at least the first time or two. They're talking about traveling equipment, even rented equipment, to break up the plots, and you need to do a little bit of pre-training of some of the young people at least and see if it'll work. I don't know. The heavy administrative burden for this, they, of course, they had two or three programs, and this is the only one I submitted for. The heavy administrative cost in relationship to total funding is justifiable complaint. If it can be a spin-off of other administrative activities and still happen in those four villages, I'm in absolute acceptance of it. Remember, the political facts of life are that this corporation is very active up there and very interested in doing this, and I think they recognize they're interested in administering. Let's put that.
Senator Petula, in the way that I understand it was at your request that the Resource Committee introduced this bill, you had indicated Community and Regional Affairs as handling the grant. Department of Natural Resources has handled a couple of the others, and apparently there's been some discussion, I believe, between Department of Natural Resources and Community and Regional Affairs. Would you have any objection to this being considered under Natural Resources as opposed to Community and Regional Affairs?
No. If Community and Regional Affairs is satisfied, and I mean this committee, with Natural Resources handling, and Natural Resources has taken the administration of it through the Division of Agriculture, I have no complaint at all. It was just an idea, and some other agency that had administered and dealt with villages in both social and economic ways, and that's the reason I used CNRA. Natural Resources is usually where I go for these things, so it's not important to me who handles or who processes. It is important that you have a look at it, and it's be understood, and if it is a priority, you examine and understand that probably it'll be the tail end of some appropriation in the budget if we don't look at it and have some input.
Well, obviously we
and
prefer
I'm not trying to say that in any way, except mm-hmm. that's how it happened last time. Mm-hmm. I had a whole different purpose to the money. I thought this is stage two. Mm-hmm. Stage one is still sitting out there.
Fine. Questions of Senator Cartula? Fine. Thank you very much.
Thank you very, very much.
Palmer, do you have any comments you'd like to make on this, Palmer McCarter?
Madam Chair, very briefly, Jeff Haynes has indicated that it's the Department of Natural Resources' position that this grant probably ought to more appropriately go to that department. The testimony we have is limited basically to suggest that that grant ought to go to the Department of Natural Resources.
So you agree with
yeah.
that then? All right, fine.
And just as a side, I think it's been touched upon by both Department of Natural Resources and raised by the committee, obviously there is a lot of money built into this grant for setting up a basic administrative structure within the Copper River Native Association. This isn't necessarily our position, but it's certainly a comment with 12 or 11 other regional corporations within the state, each of which I think within their own regions could develop similar programs. You might be setting up this infrastructure of administrative overhead for several if you take the tactic that you want to fund the bill for a particular regional corporation. I think our attitude would be is expressed that perhaps someone at the state level, where guidelines have been established, that could more efficiently be administered from the state level without attempting to develop this expertise in each of the 12 regional corporations.
If I appreciate your comment, I think that's very good. Any other comment?
Madam Chairman,
Jeff
Haynes? We'll write up these guidelines, and if you would like, we will try to structure it as closely as possible to things which actually result in the development of these things rather than purely administrative, because I think that we can handle most of that within the department as it is now. I mean, it's already something that we build into the Division of Agriculture, and it's also tied into our geothermal thing, so we can certainly write it up with that.
Senator Rohde?
Madam Chairman, Jeff, could you, the administrative costs seem rather high with the proposal. We had some $41,000 for the four projects. And having done a little gardening myself, it would appear that it could be done less if your people in the Department of Agriculture handle it. They're all highway villages, and I assume that your department could perhaps act like the county agricultural agent in many other states and visit the villages and set up the programs.
Okay. Well, we'll
could you take a look at that and
yes.
possibly suggest some costs?
Sure.
I think that would be very appropriate, not only to have, then it's, I understand, just so we're together on this, that we would have guidelines for any applications. We would consider perhaps an adequate pool of grant money being made available to accommodate not only this, but perhaps other anticipated projects, and that the Division of Agriculture, or through the, well, be the Extension Service, I don't know which you were referring to.
Actually, there are actually, the Extension Service is part of the University of Alaska,
mm-hmm.
whereas the Department of,
Division
of Agriculture is a part of the Department of Natural Resources.
But they're also listed in Palmer, the division has a...
Right, we actually have offices several places, so, I mean, we're kind of in the extension business, too. And in this area, because, as I say, the potential geothermal or other energy relation or related elements to it, that, you know, is probably more appropriately done in
the Division of Agriculture.
We work closely with the extension.
All right, so we would look then at the overall administration for not only this project, but for others. Does that pretty much get it?
Yes, Madam Chair.
So what I can do then, is if I read the committee correctly, is to rewrite this with an idea of what a reasonable pool might be and what our administrative costs would be in terms of acting as sort of an extension agent on this, and maybe we can probably end up doing the whole thing for a lot less money administratively and get more money into actual projects. I presume that's what you're interested in. Secretary.
Senator Stimson, is that...
The one question that was mm-hmm. raised a little bit earlier is I'd like a recommendation from your department as to whether the idea of salaries and so forth should be included in that proposal.
That gets that question of actually administrating and running it. What is the role of the state? Because I can see several millions of dollars in a project here, and it's obviously somebody at some point has to make a decision, but we shouldn't be looking just at one little project. How do we handle those best with a number of them coming in?
Normally, I think our philosophy would be in an area like this where we're sort of getting into, is that the role of the state government is probably to develop, you know, a certain amount of expertise and provision of technical assistance, you know, to prospective users, and then it's up to them, you know, to run with that. That's the private enterprise sector. In this case, it would be not only the agricultural part, but also the energy part as well. You know, whether you want to get into paying for, you know, actual equipment, you know, and the work commodities or whatever that would be necessary for developing it is, you know, also a philosophical choice. And we'll certainly we'd be glad to do that or administer a grant for that purpose. But that, you know, that I'll talk to Nick Carney about that, the Director of Agriculture, and see what the other ones are like, because I don't know which ones are most crucial at this stage.
It's a very important question. Just doing a little mental arithmetic, it would cost us almost $20 million to do this statewide, just in the rural areas.
Mm-hmm. If you'll take a careful look, I think here is an opportunity to pull something together and not, you know, and I appreciate Senator Curtula's point. We could just add it up as a grant and on it goes, and then you administer it. But if we can get some, if you will, policy toward the development, I think that now is a really crucial time. So
okay.
Why don't you work on that, and then let's say possibly by the first or of next week, get to us with staff, and then I'll bring it back to the committee to see what their pleasure is, and possibly we can move ahead with it.
Well, what we could do is just give you a list of all the possible criteria we could think of, you know, for determining which grants, under what circumstances grants would be acceptable. I mean, we can list out equipment or list out personal services or whatever, and just give that to you. And
I think the committee.
You don't like, you know.
I think the committee, though, would prefer for you to come in with a recommendation of how a program should be run and developed. And we could, if they want, you know, there can be adding and subtracting from that. But you're managers, and you come in with a program that you feel would be appropriate, and we'll go from there. Is that okay with the?
Okay.
Fine. Any other?
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Nothing else to come before the committee, so meeting's adjourned. Thank you very much for staying. I.